This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, is free speech out of bounds in the new NFL? Miami Dolphin Don Jones was flagged and fined for expressing his views on seventh-round draft pick Michael Sam's expressive celebration with his boyfriend. Former NFL running back and guest host of Washington Watch, Craig James, joined me for that discussion. And an 840-page report on climate change issued by the White House earlier this month was intended to heat up the global warming debate. But have citizens moved on from the sky is falling mantra? Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe has the answer. Also, new revelations coming out this week from the House Oversight Committee regarding the IRS and their targeting of conservative groups. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows gives us the latest. Also, let me encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about our guest that will be here on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. You can also sign up for my daily update. It comes out Monday through Friday, right there in your email box, free of charge. Again, the website, tonyperkins.com. Well, the war on free speech and expression continues as the intolerant NFL is punishing Miami Dolphin player Don Jones for his expressed disgust over the actions of Michael Sam and his boyfriend after he was drafted last weekend. Sam made headlines as a Missouri football player when he announced that he was a homosexual. The NFL has fined Don Jones and is ordering him to attend re-education training, and he has been barred from all team activities until he completes the training. Former NFL running back and Washington Watch guest host Craig James joined me earlier in the week to talk about it. Craig, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, it's great to be on with you. It seems like this show is so appropriate that you have every day something new comes through the doorstep that we have to confront and can't turn a back on and must face.
Well, Craig, you were on Friday talking to the Benham brothers about being booted off of a reality TV show because of their Christian views on morality. And over the weekend, we have this seventh-round draft pick who is openly gay, first NFL player to be drafted who is gay, kisses his boyfriend. And, you know, people react. And one of the players reacts in disgust, saying, oh, that's horrible. And he's fined. I mean, what's going on here?
Well, and, you know, I think when I saw the kissing at the draft, that was one thing. What really got my dander up was whenever the NFL and the Miami Dolphins, more particularly, went after the player Don Jones, who had made those comments, and suspended him and said, hey, we're going to send you to counseling. So if Don Jones had any one inch of iota of religious liberty or religious thoughts about why he made those statements, the NFL is dead wrong. And what are we going to do? Are we going to start censoring what players can say in the NFL in this country? So I look at it from a religious freedom, a religious liberty, freedom of speech issue that the NFL now is carrying the baton on. And we just can't allow this thing to slide by.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, here we have, Sam with his expression of celebration with his boyfriend after being selected in the seventh round. And you have others then reacting to his expression. So if we have freedom of expression, if we have the ability to say what we want to say, be who we are, and do what we want to do, should that not be a two-way street?
Yes, but it's such a one-way street right now, and just a narrow path on the other side that we're experiencing. And as you alluded to earlier in the introduction, I mean, I was fired from Fox Sports. They publicly and maliciously went after me because of my definition of marriage being biblical between a man and a woman. Said 18 months before they even hired me, and so this trying to trounce the other side that doesn't believe all the way in someone else's beliefs is something that is right now catching fire and is something we have to confront on a daily basis.
I want to take you back 1 year, right? I'm going to take you back to an article by SB Nation. Now, that's a sporting outlet, so and I Googled this, so it's not something I get on a regular basis. Anyway, it was from April the 29th, 2013, and it's about Tim Tebow. And I'm going to quote from this. It says, one NFL general manager went as far as calling Tebow radioactive because of the distraction his presence creates. Now, that was in the that was somebody out of the New York Post. According to, and I'm quoting again from this article, according to the anonymous general manager, Tebow is not a good enough player. Now, let me remind folks, I do know enough that he was a Heisman Trophy winner, and he led his team, the Florida, was it the Seminoles? The Gators.
Florida Gators.
Gators, okay. He led them to, what was it, two championships or three?
Yep, he had a couple. Yep.
Yeah, I know. You didn't know if it was two or three. But he was there a couple of times. And so anyway, that's the kind of player he was. But it says he is not a good enough player and does not have enough potential for teams to justify signing him and putting up with the media attention and distraction that surrounds him. The potential is outweighed by the headache of the accompanying media circus. Not only do teams not want to deal with the attention that comes with Tebow being on the roster, but many of them don't even want the distraction of being linked to him. A number of NFL teams distanced themselves from Tebow in the hours following his release. Double standard here, because Tebow was identified as a conservative Christian that upheld traditional moral values, but the others afraid of saying no to Michael Sam because of the homosexual backlash?
Well, and they're two different players here. Tim Tebow had far more potential in the NFL than Michael Sam has. And yet, I think Tim has found the pressure that he's had on the outside of the locker room has really been something that probably has helped to push him away, not be the player that he could have been. But I think it just goes along with the whole concept of distractions and the zoo, a double standard. I think what we're all hoping for here is that, you know, that we all continue to have the freedom religiously, mm-hmm. personally, the freedom of speech. Michael Sam, he's made his choices. He has the freedom to do as he does. In football, when the ball is snapped and everybody starts taking off, it's a really good system of meritocracy. You either get it done or you don't. You're rewarded if you get it done, and you're punished if you don't. And so we're going to find out pretty soon on the field whether or not he can handle it. The zoo is going to come in if they try to further squash and squander and censor what players say about him. And that's what we have to pay attention to.
Well, Craig, I think that's got to be on the minds of every player on his team and other teams, that they're afraid that something might be said or interpreted to be in some way dismissive of him or, anything that could interpreted as offensive. I mean, they've got to be on eggshells. How do you play football on eggshells?
You don't. You lose. And I think that the St. Louis Rams will be drafting really high again based on what they just did here with Michael Sam. I don't see a lot of wins coming their way. But again, there are a lot of players in the NFL who have a faith and that are going to have an opinion based on their faith, just like I have a biblical definition of marriage. I believe in all the Bible, Tony. You do too. And, mm-hmm. and because of that, we form our opinions on moral issues. And so when these players speak out or are heard in a locker room, are they going to be censored? Are they going to be suspended? Are they going to be like Don Jones and sent to rehab to help tell them and teach them what they're supposed to say about social issues and life? Just like Fox Sports, when they fired me for my religious beliefs, you know, I'm on them. I'm not going to let them go from that. And we've got to be there to support those who do enjoy and have a biblical belief and to support them when they're being persecuted.
Again, that was Craig James, former running back and now part of the FRC team. To find out more about what Craig's doing, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma joins us to talk about how the climate change issue, that's the politically correct term, is heating up. All that right here and more on the weekend edition of Washington Watch when we return.
Imagine you own a business. You take great care of your workers and provide health insurance. And one day, the government mandates that you pay for your employees' contraceptives, including drugs that could end a human life. You're facing millions of dollars in fines, but you're reluctant to violate your conscience. What would you do? Hobby Lobby and other companies are facing this attack. Here at FRC, we're fighting to protect their conscience and yours. For more information, visit frc.org/mandate resources.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for sitting down and tuning in this weekend. Well, it seemed like climate change had kind of died down since the all-nighter in the Senate a while back. But the administration, in an effort to deflect away everything else happening on Benghazi, Obamacare, the IRS, so on and so forth, well, they've pushed the climate change distraction back to the front. Earlier this month, the White House released an 840-page report, and then last week, the president was in California making sure that all of his speeches and interviews were filled with his climate change talking points. For a president who has said the global warming debate is over, he sure does talk a lot about it. The senator from Oklahoma, Jim Inhofe, joined me to discuss the political purposes behind the president's actions. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, Tony, I'm actually calling you from the cloakroom here because we're in the middle of a bunch of votes. We've got plenty of time for you and for our great causes.
Well, Senator, I appreciate you taking the time off to talk with us. I was telling the listeners, I kind of keep a file of these various stories that come out about global warming, or I'm sorry, let me use the politically correct term, climate change. And I wait till I get you on because I know you are up on this topic, and it's one that you've kind of been leading the charge to try to rein in this administration. The administration says the debate on climate change is over. Is that true? Is it over? We're going to just step aside.
Keep in mind, though, Tony, we're talking about long before this administration came in. That's when they tried to do the cap and trade. The first one was the McCain-Lieberman bill, and that progressed on up through the years. And so they've been trying to do this for a long period of time. Now the big change is this president, in spite of the fact that they cannot get legislators to vote for cap and trade because they know that there's not any great threat out there, and for that reason they're trying to do it through regulation. So what they're saying right now, Tony, and it's very significant, is that they're going to go ahead and do this through regulation.
Well, let's talk about if the president is successful in pushing forward this agenda. How would this affect our energy grid? Would it make it would it strengthen our energy grid? We'll hear a lot about that.
You got to keep in mind, and I can speak with authority here because I'm from Oklahoma. It's an oil state, and kind of on the cutting edge of this, the whole energy issue. We could be totally independent in the United States of America from any other country if we just could get the president to allow us to continue our development of our own resources on federal land, and he has refused to do this. Now, the cost of this is huge. When you stop and think about all the regulations that are coming right now from the Environmental Protection Agency, none is any worse than the cost of that it would be affected to America if we were to try to do this through his overregulation. That would mean that every house, every church, every farm would end up having to have bureaucrats crawling over them to regulate the emissions of CO2, and the cost would be just unbearable. But the point is, it wouldn't accomplish anything.
Let me ask you: you talk about extreme. And I know that that's how they try to characterize you, the left, goes after you, the Huffington Post and others, when you raise this issue. And let me just say this, Senator. I want to say thank you for not backing down, because that's what the left is accustomed to. When they attack you the way they do, it's because they're accustomed to Republicans and conservatives backing down. And you've not. You've stood your ground. You've put the facts out there. And you're to be commended for that.
Well, Tony, I've got 20 kids and grandkids that are a lot more important than the environmental extremists, and it's happened. I look back, and I don't want to sound blatantly partisan, but when you get into the overregulations and the super environmental things that they're trying to do to us, it is a partisan thing that's going on right now, and I just want to be sure that I look back wistfully at the days when the financial backbone of the Democrats in the United States Senate and House, the financial backbone was the trial lawyers and the labor unions. About 9 years ago, all that changed, and now it's the far-left environmentalists, the MoveOn.org, the George Soros, the Michael Moore, the Hollywood elites out there, the Al Gore type. they're the ones that are pouring literally millions of dollars into races. And they have still have total control of the Democrats in the United States Senate and now, in the House.
You mentioned extreme. I want to, this comes from the president's report, the 840-page report. The report says that climate change, quote, threatens human health and well-being in many ways, including through impact from increased extreme weather events, wildfires, decreased air quality, threats to mental health, and illness transmitted by food, water, and disease carriers such as mosquitoes and ticks. I mean, we've gotten to a point where they blame everything on global warming. In fact, I've not heard anybody respond to this, but you even had a writer in the U.K., blaming global warming for the abduction by Boko Haram of the Nigerian schoolgirls. That's being blamed.
Isn't it just unbelievable, Tony, that people will do it? But it shows the level of desperation. There's another thing happening here in the United States. They're trying to say, in fact, someone was from the administration was quoted yesterday saying, the greatest threat to the lives of Americans are not the terrorists, not the terrorist movement, it is global warming. So they try to even say this is a national security issue.
All right, Senator, this begs the question then. The American people, they have not been hoodwinked yet. Now, I know they're trying desperately to try to bring people along with this agenda, but they haven't surrendered yet. But this administration is dead set on getting this done. What's the motivation? Why are they doing it?
The motivation, it was only about 3 weeks ago, there's a man named Tom Steyer. The last name is spelled S-T-E-Y-E-R. He had a meeting. He had a big fundraiser for Obama. That was some time ago. But just a few weeks ago, and I think it's about 4 weeks ago, he had six Democrat incumbents, senators, who were going to have problems in their campaigns. In his home, he made a commitment of $50 million, $50 million, and he would raise an additional $50 million. But the $50 million was his money, Tom Steyer. This is all documented. And all they had to do was to have that all-night vigil. Remember they had that about 2 weeks ago?
That pajama party.
That's right, and that no one would watch and listen to, but nonetheless, they did it. And the two things he wanted were to try to revive the global warming issue that has died on the vine and stop the XL pipeline from being a reality. Now, those are the two things, and that's you're talking about, you know, $50 million of one man's, and he doesn't deny it. He's very proud of it.
So for $50 million, you can buy the Senate. At least the agenda.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's a good try, though.
All right, Senator, thanks so much for being with us. As always, appreciate having you on.
Well, thank you all that you do and your great audience. Thank you, Tony.
That was Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, when we come back on this weekend edition of Washington Watch, new revelations coming out this week on the IRS and their targeting of conservative groups. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows joins us with more right after this. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here in Washington. I want to thank you for being a part of our growing radio audience. I'm so encouraged by the positive feedback we have received regarding Washington Watch Radio. Family Research Council is able to produce this unique program because of those who partner with the ongoing work of FRC. I'm constantly told that there are more Christians who need to hear Washington Watch. Well, you know what? I agree. Currently, FRC is on a drive to increase the number of supporters involved in our monthly partners program so that we can expand our reach to more Americans. Will you prayerfully consider partnering with us? Please visit TonyPerkins.com and click on the Donate button. Partner with us as we stand for truth here in Washington, D.C. and around the country. Go to TonyPerkins.com, that's TonyPerkins.com, and click on the Donate button and become a monthly partner. Or you can call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for tuning in this weekend. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about this weekend's topics right there at TonyPerkins.com. Well, for all those liberals who were hoping the IRS scandal would just go away, well, bad news, it's not. Emails released earlier this week from both Judicial Watch and the House Oversight Committee find major links between the IRS and their specific targeting of conservative groups. The emails released by the House earlier this week showed staff working for Democratic ranking member Elijah Cummings communicating with the IRS multiple times between 2012 and 2013 about the conservative group True the Vote. Folks, every American around this country, regardless of your party, should want to find out what took place within the IRS and them targeting these groups. North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows joined me with the details on Thursday. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
It's good to be back with you, Tony. Thanks so much.
All right, Congressman, what is the latest you're getting from these emails that have been released?
Well, we are really just knowing that the story that has unfolded is one that continues to unfold, and that is that decisions have been made in Washington, D.C. It wasn't about Cincinnati. It's not about videotapes in Benghazi. And it's not about isolated problems with the VA in one particular state. It's a government that fails to be accountable, and the targeting that you're specifically talking about is very troubling when you have a powerful agency like the IRS. And even more troubling is Elijah Cummings' staff getting involved because the gentleman from Maryland, while we had a hearing, said that just wasn't the case. It didn't happen. And now we find that, indeed, it happened not once but multiple times, and it's very troubling.
Well, Congressman, that's what I said. I've read where, you know, he was specifically asked about whether or not there was communication with the IRS. And now these emails show conclusively that there was. What does that say about the integrity of the members of this committee that have, you know, been what appears to be behind pushing the targeting of these conservative groups?
Well, I mean, whether it's a conservative group that's been targeted in this case, and it was only conservative groups, no matter what the Democrats may say, it was really only conservative groups. I've gone through reams and reams of emails and testimony, and it's the IG's report. It was only conservative groups. Whether it's just that or whether it's the reverse, we ought to be concerned about it. Whenever the government gets so strong and so big and so unaccountable to the people, the results are what we're seeing. And for me, it concerns me because it underlines the very trust that we should have in our government and the trust that we should have in the executive branch to tell us the truth when a mistake's been made. And yet, that hasn't happened as well. It's something that we will continue on oversight and government reform to get to the bottom of it, to make sure as we start to see more of the Lois Lerner email, you'll see the rest of the story start to unfold.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, talking about a new release of emails, both from the House Oversight Committee and Judicial Watch releasing emails. The Judicial Watch emails I was talking with Tom Fenton earlier today shows that there was contact between Democratic senators and the IRS pushing the IRS to look at these conservative groups. Also very clearly in the emails from the IRS saying that these issues were to be handled in the D.C. office, not in Cincinnati, as was earlier claimed. Congressman, it does appear that a lot of things are coming to a head at this point, that the administration was able to dodge and cover for a time. But you mentioned Benghazi. We now have the IRS. These revelations, emails, black and white, would suggest that the administration's in trouble when you look at the evidence that's beginning to mount.
Well, their credibility is shot, and I don't know that it could ever be restored at this particular point. And it's not just credibility among those that might have been critical of the president, who wished that we had someone different in the White House.
But the credibility is really reaching way beyond that. Among independents and Democrats, who say, you know what, we at least expect the truth from our government, and if somebody's going to make a mistake, they ought to admit it. And yet we continue to get a false narrative that comes out from Jay Carney and others. And the American people are a very forgiving people, but they're also a people that will not allow the wool to be pulled down over their eyes. And that's what this administration has tried to do, and we're going to continue to reveal it. Sometimes these things take a lot longer than they should. We should have gotten emails from Lois Lerner over a year ago, and yet we're just now starting to get those. But it will tell the rest of the story.
So, Congressman, what's the next step here? Just let's focus. I know it's kind of hard. It's kind of spin the wheel to see which scandal you talk about. But let's talk just about the IRS scandal. What's the next step here for the IRS scandal?
I think what will come out in the weeks and months coming will be additional revelations in terms of the political nature of it. So when that happens is that we will have to start to see a rollback in policy of what the IRS can do and what they can't do, what documents they can. That would be legislation that would come out of Ways and Means as they start to address that. And then more transparency, some way that we could have a consumer advocate group, of which there already is with the IRS, but one that really works along with the Inspector General to make sure that it's accountable to the people. I think both of those things need to be beefed up. I'm in support of doing that. Transparency is what the American people want. It's what we must have.
Absolutely. Congressman Mark Meadows, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks for continuing to fight for truth.
That was Congressman Mark Meadows. To find out more, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Let me again thank you for joining us, and let me thank the stations that are airing Washington Watch. We appreciate partnering with them to bring you information that you probably won't find anywhere else, right here on Washington Watch. Again, the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about what we do Monday through Friday by signing up for my daily email. Well, I hope you'll tune in again next week. Until then, remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. In Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us when we've prayed, we've prepared, and we've taken our stand, well, by all means, just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.